Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the great perks of being in here with Wiggy and Courtney is just Wiggy has such a very fundamental base level understanding of things and has a way of saying it in a very thoughtful, sage, almost sort of philosophical way.
Appreciate that.
Honestly,
man.
I feel bad for people that love the show because my favorite parts are usually during break. Like, because we get into these, like, very interesting conversations that are so off topic or just random.
Right.
But you learn so much.
That's the keys. You learn people who are from way different worlds than I come from, right? You know, that's why I like the road shows. I meet people that I'm from such a different world. You know, like, you know, people always talk about, you know, how we say things, how we talk. I'm from a world where we butcher the English language. We talk like this. Mm-hmm. And so then when I meet people who are not from that world, it's kind of cool. Like, oh, okay, we get to see the differences and stuff like that.
But I also think you do a great job where even if you don't see eye to eye on something, like we have a conversation and we end up walking away from it, seeing each other's point
of
view.
I get it. You know what I mean? And it's cool. And it's interesting. Like, so when and some of the stuff is like we talked to Pop Douglas. Some people don't get them because they never been around like dudes from the South, Southerners. And, you know, we've been there, Courtney, because you were down in Charlotte and you worked. And so you got to meet a lot of those, you know, cats that were from the South. And they're just like, they're different. They're cool. They're unique. They have a
more laid back.
Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, it's, and then, you know, Curtis's world and blending stuff. And it's just like, man. And I think that's what makes it unique. And I love when people say, I almost said the S word.
It's all right.
I love when people say it because, you know, hopefully what we're doing is we're able we see the world from the different views.
Yeah.
You know, we all don't see the world from blue eyes or brown eyes. Right. Bingo. That's right. Bingo.
Whenever we would do the road shows and you talk to people and they're like, I love the show when everyone's together. And it's, I wish Greg could take credit for it. I mean, he should. It's his show. But the way we stumbled upon people that are just so different in how they view things and have such different lived experiences.
Right.
And then there's always a representation for an audience member in the conversation.
Right.
Like someone will be close to Courtney or Wiggs or me or Greg or Shime or whoever. And so you always feel like your side is being represented no matter what the topic is.
Right.
And we were talking during the break about like, I always love Wiggy, you know, what would you do if you hit it big?
Yeah.
Like, I would get the hell out of here.
What?
I would be in Florida.
What?
I would be, if I missed Boston, there's a 3-hour flight.
And
I'd be right here.
Yeah.
I'd be right
Which
here.
Which is crazy.
I'd be right here. And I would buy like an unreal place in the city and an unreal place down the Cape or on Nantucket.
Give me something on one of those beaches along Florida where it's crystal clear blue. But but like you said, everybody's different.
Yeah.
I learned so many things from you, Courtney, when it comes to
TikTok.
Well, no, like just some of like the food words and stuff like that. I'm like,
food words.
Yeah, like crudité.
Yeah, I'm like, what the hell is crudité?
Right.
Dill forward.
Yeah, I'm like,
dill forward.
I know if I said crudité to some of the guys I hang out with, they would literally look at me and slap me and say, what the hell did you, is that like a foreign word?
Do you know what you don't have to dump this. You know what they make for their sandwiches in Buffalo?
What?
They use dill dough. And it really turns into great little, like, they can make like a rye or a pumpernickel.
That sounds delish.
It really is.
Yeah.
I could come back here. I would have an apartment in Boston. It would be perfect. But from now until June, like, it's 35. Oh, let's open the weather window, Shimer. I got to do that.
Yeah, please do that.
It is 35 degrees right now in Boston. It feels like 33.
Man.
It's, we were, a week ago, we had our AC unit replaced, and I was 100 degrees in my place.
Two days ago, it was 80 degrees, Curtis.
Man, it was so nice.
Oh, God, so it's nice. Like a kick in the nuts.
It's going to get up to 60.
Oh, boy.
It's good.
Up to 60, she says.
It's going to be tomorrow. Are you going to the BC Clemson game, Courtney?
I am not.
Yeah. Oh, it's at home?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be a good
Clemson
game.
Clemson travels really, really well,
yeah,
too. And
go.
If you're around the city and you start seeing dollar bills or $10, $5, whatever, with a tiger print on it, that's mm-hmm. how they travel. They like okay. They infiltrate your city with the money that has the print on it.
Oh.
I would say this about Clemson. They luck out because it feels like it's always first or second week in October. And it's what a weekend to come to Boston
yeah.
if you're in South Carolina.
I don't know. It's supposed to be crummy weather, I think, this weekend, like rain.
No rain tomorrow. A little rain on Sunday.
All right.
But, like, you know, if you're going to go, if you're sightseeing 60 degrees right. in Boston,
yes,
it's perfect.
Gorgeous. Yeah. And the leaf peeping season. Oh. They really, and they're the nicest fans
sweetest.
Ever. Yeah. They are the nicest fans
Southerners
ever.
Southerners are different.
Yes.
Yeah. They are always.
Man, you got a lot of big buildings up here now.
Speaking of Southerners, did you see Drake May's nickname for Will Campbell?
No.
He calls him Big Country.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that yesterday.
You know what's crazy? I was going to say, and I didn't see it, but I was going to say Big Country because that is like the Southern go-to nickname.
Right.
If you're my age, Big Country Reeves.
Yeah.
Was it Iowa, Oklahoma, Iowa State? Where did Big Country Reeves
play? Oh, the
play?
Basketball player yeah. you're talking about. Oh, man, that's a good one.
There Big was country. Also the baseball player, Country Breakfast.
Yeah, but I think it was one of the Midwestern schools. I can't remember which one it was.
I'm sure someone will
That's
let
a good
us
pull.
Know.
Did he have like a flat top
yep.
and everything?
I remember Big Country like it was yesterday. I could do 90s random college basketball all day.
I'm with you.
Let's get to this, Sean.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the dumb bambino and have me phasing. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They said it is presented by Ketch's Law. At Ketch's Law, they don't just work here, they live here. Their attorneys and staff are your neighbors, standing beside you in your toughest moments. Over $3 billion won for injured New Englanders. Call Ketch's Law today. What's first up here, Scheimer?
Well, Curtis, let's begin with A.J. Brown, because the Eagles lost to the Giants last night after being unable to score a single point in the second half. Felt very similar to last week's Eagles game, where they couldn't even complete a pass in the second half, and the Giants ran away with a 34-17 win. A.J. Brown spoke to the media, and there was reportedly like a meeting that A.J. Brown had with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley earlier this week. He was being asked about it. Didn't really want to talk about it.
What was behind that?
I don't recall the meeting.
Oh, okay. The meeting that we're at.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Those guys said it did happen.
Oh, you didn't talk to them.
You weren't in the meeting?
I don't recall.
Or you don't want to just talk
I don't recall.
It's wow. so bad.
Yeah, they can't stand each other.
No.
I don't care what anybody says. I've been in locker rooms before. He doesn't think, I don't know what it is, but I think he feels like Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. He can't stand him.
It is time to move
yes.
on. Like for both of them.
Right.
It is,
and for your team, your organization, yes. like if you're the head coach is what's it, Nick Sirianni,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You gotta be thinking like, man, we gotta figure this out. We got a guy that's one of our best players in A.J. Brown and our young quarterback that we paid a ton of money to, they are not on the same page and it seems like they don't vibe with each other at all. So it's got to be an uncomfortable feeling, especially for the other guys who are like friends with AJ and Jalen Hurts. It's like, I'm caught in the middle of this BS.
Right.
So Sirianni, he's got to be like, you're not going to ship Jalen Hurts out of there. So you might as well ship AJ Brown. And maybe, who the hell knows, maybe that changes your locker room.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that you are this close to a championship.
Right.
I believe they had won 18 of 19 games,
yeah.
and now they've lost consecutive games
right.
in 5 days. If I'm, and you know Howie Roseman has, I mean, he has got the longest leash of any GM in football.
Right.
He is widely, rightfully renowned as the best guy right now doing what he does. And I just, it is such a bad trait for A.J. Brown to be this unhappy on a team that's this good.
He's unhappy, yeah.
But if I'm Vrabel, this is the perfect landing spot.
If you're New England, you might even be able to get A.J. Brown for a cheaper price because Philly.
Price keeps going down.
Right. Philly might be thinking, all right, we might just have to get this guy out because it's like addition by subtraction, similar to what we saw with Devers, right? We get this guy out of here, the locker room, nobody's walking around on eggshells.
And Jalen Hurts can actually lead without being fearful of what he's going to be saying.
There's probably a split. Well, he always talks about a split. Yes. Guys that love A.J. Brown, guys that love Jalen. Right. Like,
and now you're caught in the middle, and it's like, all right. And so if you're Philly, you're probably like, all right, we want a second round, but maybe we'll take a third round just to kind of break away from this, and that maybe makes it so.
Or even if it drops from a first to a second, right? Like, that's great.
If you're New England, first thing I do is I'm picking up the phone. I'm saying, "Hey, Philly, we'll give you a second round draft pick, and you know what? We'll even throw in a wide receiver. Pick whoever you want on here.
You could have Mac Hollins." But I know we talked about this briefly, but is there any concern about Diggs and AJ Brown together?
No, because I think the thing is the offense isn't about the running back in New England. We're in Philadelphia.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel like it's about Saquon and it's about Jalen and that running game, and those guys are afterthoughts. Whereas if A.J. Brown comes here, it's the passing game, I believe, especially with Drake May, where he's getting the ball to Diggs.
You've seen those stats. Like, Drake May is responsible for 78% of his team's total yards, or 80% or whatever the number is. Like, this is a passing-driven offense. It's not – they can't get the run game going.
Right.
So it only makes sense to have two good receivers.
And the other thing for me, and I know it's done not that often, but it's done, where it should always be conditional. So you trade a second to Philadelphia. If A.J. Brown doesn't reach these qualifiers, it becomes a third. If he does reach these, it becomes a first. So it's win-win.
Yeah.
Like, if you get an
A.J. Brown.
And they
do that all the time. They did that with the Carson Wentz trade to Indianapolis.
Right.
Like, if he starts a certain amount of games, it becomes a first. If he doesn't, it's a second.
And that way, it's an actual fair deal where, you know, you'll be happy to play, give a first-round pick if you're, you know,
if you win a playoff game, like with the Marchand deal last year, right? If your stipulation is, yes, if we win a playoff game after the trade for A.J. Brown, it's a first-round pick. If we don't, it's a second. Like, you
and
do
they
that
could
tomorrow.
Give him a brand-new deal, not like he needs one, but the Patriots could front-load the crap out of it.
Yep.
They have so much cap space, it doesn't even matter. But if they wanted to, they could incentivize him here, give him a boatload of cash, and then you have him going forward. Steph Diggs has the remainder of this year, and then you have an offense that, if they got A.J. Brown that's invested, this team, I think, would be the favorite to win the division.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And you know it's a guy Mike Vrabel likes. Like, he likes the person. And so I think that is a huge thing.
And remember,
you should be calling Howie Roseman right now.
Philly didn't have issues with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So you can have two wide receivers Diggs and A.J. Brown. Their issues became when A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith they started to play second fiddle to Saquon Barkley. And then that's when it's like, oh, wait a second here. It's like, it was cool when me and Devontae were, you know, because we were sharing the ball. Now Saquon gets the lion's share of it. Now me and Devontae are fighting over scraps. Mm. And I'm supposed to be one of the best receivers in the league, not just on our football team. And I get three or four targets.
And you can kind of deal with it when you're in the playoffs and winning the Super Bowl. But when you're losing back-to-back games, one of which is to the New York Giants, who you perennially dominate, that's an issue.
They have to be calling. They have to.
I hope so.
I think they absolutely are.
Any good team should be calling.
Right.
Well, I hope they call now.
True.
What's next, Shane?
Well, let's talk about the New England Patriots. Christian Barmore joined the guys over at Patriots.com and talked about possibly one of the better offseason signings the Patriots have had in quite some time, the milkman, Milton Williams. Here is Christian Barmore.
It's amazing because we always say, like, they're going to have to choose one. Like, who you going to slide to, you know, and whoever one of one we get, we got to win.
What are they going
to
hold?
That's what I'm saying. What are they going to hold? You know what I'm saying? And it's just been really good, man, because, like, you know, that guy, like, he's a hell of a player. and just like, you know, we got a lot of guys, him, Tunga, you know what I'm saying, Josh, and, you know, it's a lot of guys on this front seven is just doing our part. And it's just like, you know, it's just about like we just dogs, you know, we just could keep going hard. Just keep being grounded every day.
I like it. I like it. Shime and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, my ultimate is A.J. Brown. But then we talked about, imagine if you could get in a trade one of the two, Kayvon Thibodeau or Brian Burns, and add that player with those two, Milton Williams, Baumore.
And be what Keon White was supposed to be.
Right. And Harold Landry. And then either Thibodeau or Burns, because I think one of those guys are gonna get shipped in New York, because you know they want to get Abdul-Carter on the field and they want him on the field all the time. So imagine having the one of those two guys in that front four. That would be pretty damn good. Because I was watching the Giants game last night and I was like, damn, those guys can get after. I was like, can anybody block Burns?
Yeah, they have a filthy defensive front.
Right, but. They want, and you see them, they struggle trying to get, they get Abdul-Carter on the field, but they put him over the guard.
Yeah,
and I know, and he probably feels uncomfortable there, but you got Thibodeau and you got Burns. That's why I say one of those two guys has to go.
This is also one of the major reasons why I was so upset with the Patriots, why it felt like they weren't even interested in Micah Parsons. Because if you get one legitimately great pass rusher to put next to these two interior guys in Milton Williams and Christian Barmore, your defensive line is going to be ferocious.
I thought it was a really good text from Greg when he asked, why are they wasting Carter in the B gap, and I was like, I agree. Yeah.
Great call by Greg. Look at that.
He's on top of it.
Breaking it down.
If you got one of those guys, you'd have the best defensive line in the National Football League, in my opinion, front four, between Landry, Baumore, Williams, and whichever one of the Giants guys you got. Because I watch, mark my words, one of them guys get dealt. I heard like there's been little rumors that one of them goes out to San Fran because of the Nick Bosa injury. So... I mean, if you can't get A.J. Brown, maybe you make your defense even that much better.
And if you look at what led the Eagles to win against the Chiefs, look at what the Bucs did against the Chiefs, and it was getting to the quarterback with four. It's not blitzing, using your defensive front to pressure a quarterback. It is today's kryptonite for a great NFL team.
That's how you beat Josh Allen, right? Yeah. If you can get pressure with four and then spy the quarterback and still cover the rest of the field, like that's how you beat him.
Greg's tux is under a lot of pressure tonight.
Has he tried it on yet?
Nope. Not even a tux. It's a light colored suit, like a light tan suit.
That is not flattering.
But, you know, he sent the measurements, so let's just hope that everything works out.
Isn't it shocking that Greg's still alive at 58, considering his diet?
He lives in the morning, the mush and the blueberries.
Oh, yeah, but his gut's getting a little big, though.
Yeah.
It's getting a little round down there.
Right. Somebody said congratulations to him in Newport.
No.
you having twins? But, you know, he's got to get back to train to Dan.
He was back with him.
Oh, let's get a positive call. We got to take these. It's a Friday. Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I am loving the energy. I mean, you guys, your cadence is faster. You're speaking so all about A.J. Brown. I mean, this is fantastic. It's kind of like everybody sitting around like, hey, if I hit the lottery for $1 billion, the first thing I'm going to do is buy a castle, and then I'm going to buy an ice cream store.
Same. Right. I would totally buy an ice cream store.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what you do when you start to look at potential guys that you want.
Do you think the A.J. Brown thing is so out of touch, though?
No.
Like, I don't think that's a massive hot take.
No, he clearly is not happy.
Right.
There.
Anybody who has two eyes – and, you know, as they say, half a brain, but I would say a quarter of a brain. Mm-hmm. If they watch Philly and they watch the Giants, they're going to say, okay, A.J. Brown gets traded and probably one of those defensive ends get traded. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that.
No,
right. It
is literally the destination that makes the most sense. If you want to talk about cash on hand, the Patriots have more than anybody. They have a coach that worked well with him in his last stop. They have a quarterback that's young that could use another great receiver in the offense. What? Tell me why not.
Right. And he's 28, right? Like, he's not even 30 yet. That's like the perfect age.
You know what's going to happen? Mark my words. If you don't jump on him, you know who potentially might jump on him?
Buffalo.
Nope.
Ooh.
Kansas City.
Oh, that's true.
You know, Kansas City. That's a good one, Curtis. I wasn't even thinking about that. What, Buffalo would be another great landing spot. If I'm Buffalo Bills front office,
they need it. You got to win soon. This is your, I mean, the Chiefs are down. Lamar's out. Right. You got the reigning MVP.
There's no better time than right now. You have to sell out.
I right before you open a brand new taxpayer funded stadium. All right, we got one more, Sean Marie.
Yeah, I got one more for you here. We've talked a little bit. Courtney had a great lead about Bill Belichick this morning. Here was Mike Florio on the Dan Patrick Show talking about the Belichick UNC situation.
How much money changes hands and in which direction does it go when it finally ends? I feel like that's where this is headed. And those companion statements that came out at 9:36 p.m. Eastern last night, like if you hadn't been paying attention to all the reports that are out there and you just happen to open your Twitter and you're a North Carolina fan and you see that the next post since the one about Drake May that they were shamed into making on Monday is this statement that Bill Belichick's committed to the team, and then the statement from Bubba Cunningham, the AD, the team is committed to him. It's like, why are we doing this? It just legitimizes that there's this avalanche right now of reporting that they've made no effort to push back against, of dysfunction and deterioration and just flat out disintegration of the program. And I feel like that this is just the idea of, if I'm going to go, you're going to pay me to go. And from the team's perspective, if you're going to go, we're not going to pay you. And
yeah, I don't know what to make of all of it now. I mean, I think that they're each trying to exert whatever leverage they have on the other.
Yeah.
It's clearly something in hindsight neither would do again, I believe.
But Bill's not going anywhere unless UNC's willing to, you know, buy him out at $20-plus million. The whole NCAA rules and those things, I feel like, you know, teams do it all the time, unless it's something serious.
Because you bring up the buyout, the $20 million buyout. I get confused when it comes to buyouts and what Bill can get and what he can't get. Because then you were seeing, like, he's talking about $1 million buyout. Is that Bill basically saying, like, yeah, you could just keep the $19 million that you owe me? And
well,
then
there's an exit. If Bill wants to leave, right, and he has an NFL job, it's $1 million to get out of the contract. So if Bill wants to quit, he just pays the university $1 million.
Right.
He pays the university $1 million.
Right. Yeah. So if he got an NFL job, that was put in there as like a poison pill. Okay. Before the year, it was $10 million, and then it went down to $1 million after all the NFL jobs were taken. So they knew they at least had Bill for a full season.
Right.
Now it is fully guaranteed for the next 2 years. The university owes him $20 million.
Yep.
However, the reason you've heard the stories about violations is it's used throughout college as a way to pressure a coach to accept a lesser buyout because of violations against the school when
but
he was
the
there.
Violations have to be so egregious where the coach accept it, because if not, then what ends up happening is what we saw with Michigan's coach, the Sharon Moore, just take a couple game suspension and the train keeps rolling.
Got it.
Right, so now you don't have the coach knows, well, then they're not going to fire me because, all right, the allegations are I'm only going to be suspended for 2 games because we gave a family sideline passes or we bought a family Starbucks when we shouldn't.
Okay.
And I think Bill knows that, and the university probably knows that, unless there's like some serious allegations, like the, you know, them locking an injured player out. Because if you're UNC, there's no way, you just fired Mac Brown, you probably owe him money. There's no way you're saying, all right, Bill, here's $20 million, go away, and then gotta hire a new coach and pay him.
Right.
The university would just call Michael Jordan. $20 million is a rounding error for him. They could have that paid off in no time. But I hear what you're saying. Coming up next is the news with Courtney.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.